Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Patience in the Bible has the idea of perseverance, continuing on, not quitting, you know, just kind of plodding along and keep going. Patience, again, 1611, King James Bible has the idea of what we mean today by perseverance. And I mean, I'm waiting, but I'm moving forward. I'm working, trying to accomplish something. I just moving ahead slowly. Where was I? Tribulation worketh patience. I keep persevering going forward. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, and so on. Maybe another verse that deals with that word patience, Hebrews chapter 12, and probably a little bit more familiar to many of us. Hebrews chapter 12 reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," or perseverance, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ, you know, persevered. He had a race and was going to the cross and a course that God had prescribed for him. And he didn't quit. I mean, it wasn't easy. Cross wasn't easy. And everything leading up to it wasn't easy. But he persevered. He ran with patience, and God urges us to do the same. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths of the Bible. Pray that you'd lead and guide my mind. Help me to emphasize what I should, leave out what I should. Holy Spirit, pray you would speak to hearts as I speak to ears. And bless, pray for Pastor Ross, and help and heal him is our desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk a little bit before I get into message, really, about a man named William Carey. William Carey, many of you have heard of. A lot of people, times he's called the father of modern missions, and he really was. Lived in England, born on August 17th, 1761, so a little over 250 years ago, and died in India on June 9th, 1834. So, you know, 225, 250 years ago, called the father of modern missions. He was a shoe cobbler in England, and got and pastor, and worked making shoes and preaching some, and started getting consumed with the idea that, you know, we need to do more than just try and reach people in England. We need to try and reach people all over the world. And, you know, that idea to us now is, I mean, everybody say, well, of course, I mean, we all give to missions, right? And we do. And every church, you know, that I'm in know about, I mean, we have a missions emphasis. We promote missions. We want to get the gospel all the way around the world. God wants everybody everywhere in the world to get saved. And so we send out missionaries, everything like that. In the 1740s, 50s, whatever, when Carey was getting going in England there, and God put a burden on his heart about mission, you know, people in other countries. And he'd go to a preacher's fellowship and talk about the need to expand the gospel and get it out of England and carry the message to other countries. And people just said, you know, William, that, I mean, we don't do that. That God, you know, it just isn't what's done. Supposedly, after he preached one message about at a preacher's fellowship about the need to get the gospel around the world, one of the older men that you know, got up afterwards said something like, "You know, Mr. Carey, when it pleases God to save the heathen, he'll be pleased to do it without your help or mine. And, you know, we don't need to worry about that. God'll just do it if and when he chooses to do it." I don't know. You read different accounts, whether somebody exactly said that or didn't, but that was certainly the sentiment. And, they didn't record it. They didn't, you can't look it up on YouTube, that service where he preached or anything. But something like that, that was certainly the sentiment. And Kerry kept pushing forward. He kept saying, man, we got to go. We got to get the gospel to the world. God gave him a burden for India. And eventually he went to India in 1793, 230 years ago this year. And started ministering there. And it went slowly. It didn't go well. It didn't go quickly at all. But he worked and he persevered. He translated the Bible into Bengali and Sanskrit and a lot of other languages. Morty wrote it and wrote the Bible, translated it, in some cases developed the characters to be able to write the language, 44 different languages and dialects. At one point I looked, you could still get on eBay or something, a Sanskrit English dictionary that Kerry worked on. Why you'd want a Sanskrit, Sanskrit's a language for those of you that are young. Why you'd want a Sanskrit English dictionary, I don't know. But you could buy one if you wanted one that he worked on. Just a lot of different things. 41 years in India. Had people saved, churches, started a Bible college, worked on that. And through him, then, the present-day missions movement that we know of was begun. Again, he is called the father of modern missions, and justifiably so. I mean, he's the guy that got everything going in this generation that 230 years after he went to India, we're still promoting and doing. He's a man that changed the world, and he literally made a difference, changed the world. He was writing, talking, speaking, and one day about what somebody might say at his funeral, I guess, or what a biographer might say about him, and he said, if he give me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plod, I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. Kerry, the statement there, I can plod. You know, I don't accomplish very much very quickly. I haven't moved well, stayed there in India 41 years and nothing happened fast. But he said, I can plod. I can keep going. I looked up the word plod in my Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says to walk heavily or move laboriously, to trudge, to plod under the weight of a burden, to proceed, second definition, to proceed in a tediously slow manner, like this sermon just plodded along. It was going nowhere fast, or a play. Dictionary says the play just plodded along in the second act. To work with constant and monotonous perseverance, to drudge. I mean, Kerry, William Kerry, what was the secret to your great success? Why did God use you to change the world? He said, well, because I was a plotter. I just kept going. Plodding, I think of horses. I think of the old workhorses. Now living in Lexington and Commonwealth Baptist College, they call Lexington the horse capital of the world. And when it comes to thoroughbred horses, it is, and race horses. And I mean, we don't go to the horse races and we don't gamble on them and so on. But we got beautiful horse farms all over the area, and you see the beautiful thoroughbreds out there. And they're standing there, and they're skinny horses with skinny, and they've been bred for that. Skinny little legs and not a lot of weight, and their legs break easily, and then you got to put them down, and different issues like that. They're beautiful and they run fast. Not much good for work. You get out, on the other hand, for our 40th anniversary. I know you're thinking, Brother Jorgensen, you can't have had 40 anniversaries already. Your wife's so young. And but anyhow, 40th anniversary, which was quite a few years ago, go up to Mackinac Island, whatever, and went up there. Went over to the island. Of course, if you've been up there, heard about it, There are no vehicles, no cars on the island. I think maybe they have a police car and an ambulance or something. That's about it. But I didn't really want to ride in either of those. And so for two different reasons. We got Mackinac Island, and you get over and you got all your luggage and everything. We spent the night. And so they put it all in this big old wagon there, and our luggage, and with my wife's, that was quite a bit. But then they put more people's luggage on there, and a little more, and they get all this luggage on there, and you got these two old, big old horses. I mean, it looked like Clydesdales or whatever. I mean, I don't know that much about horses, just big old things, bulky. You think, just looking at them, you think they're going nowhere in a hurry. Ever. I mean, they're not. But they just take off and boom, just plodded right on up the hill. No trouble at all. If you took one of those thoroughbreds from down in Lexington up there, hooked them up to that wagon, they'd have trouble pulling the wagon empty, I think. You put a 98-pound jockey on them and that's about all they want. But anyhow, you got race horses, work horses. William Carey said, I can plod. If he give me credit for being a plodder, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything. If it's God's will, Carey's saying, I'm going to work until it's accomplished. I think of 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, Paul writes, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in the Lord. Paul said, man, you just got to keep plodding. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Paul writes at the end of his life, I've finished my course. I've run my race with joy, Acts 20. I just kept going. If you're going to accomplish anything for Christ in life, the question is not, can I run fast, but I can plod. Anything, as far as that goes, not even for Christ, anything in life. The one that runs fastest isn't the winner. It's the plodder. And anybody can, I enjoy college basketball. Living in Lexington, I've become a pretty avid Kentucky basketball fan. But I was still pulling for Indiana in the tournament, at least till they met Kentucky. And, but you get, and more you realize if you're going to win, you're going to have a good basketball team, it's every play, every possession. Every moment, every guy on that court has got some place he's got to be. And they were showing different highlights, I think, last night even, a little bit in between, and saying, look, see this fella, you've got a, I think, was it Barkley? You got to bump and then move off and get the second. There's no bump and he doesn't move and there's the dunk. And there's no bump and there's no move and there's another dunk. And there's the one where he didn't get, and he didn't do this, and that's why they lost. Not because he didn't, the player didn't keep plotting. He wasn't in it on every play, doing what he was supposed to do, playing the defense. The defense isn't going to make the highlight reel. I remember our coach down in Lexington, Cal Perry, telling John Wall, I think, one day. Years ago, great point guard, played forever in the NBA. And he said, John, quit trying to make highlight reel plays and get out there and run my team. If you play the game right, you're going to make the highlight reels on ESPN. You got that kind of talent. But quit trying to make the highlight reel plays and just get out there and run my team. And once he did, that team kept winning more and more and more. Life isn't about the spectacular. Life isn't about the big day. Life is about plodding. Life is about keeping going. You look at somebody who's successful in any area. I don't care if you're talking about ministry. I don't care if you're talking about a profession. A lot of you around here are farmers. Some of you work in the mines. Well, we'll get all that coal out of there. Coal mines around here, right?
Yes, sir.
We'll get all that coal. No, it doesn't come in a hurry. It comes in a cart and another and another and another. Doesn't come in a hurry. Man, we're going to plant crops, and the Bible talks about the patience of the farmer who, after he's put the seed in the ground, I mean, he waits, but it's not just waiting. It's cultivating and weeding and fertilizing. I mean, it's work. Plotting day by day, worrying about the water, worrying about, I mean, I think farming's working day by day, isn't it? You don't just put the seed in the ground in March and then show up in October to do the harvest, do you? Take 2 months or 6 months vacation in between. Is that how it works? If it is, I think I should have been a farmer. I mean, we tried raising little gardens with the kids, and the rabbits kept getting them. They had good meals. But you know, anything you're going to do in life, question is not, can I run fast? The question is, can I plod? Can I keep going? Can I pursue in any definite pursuit? But you get, somebody that is a success in any area. I remember we were out in California for a while. I remember stories about Steve Jobs and his buddy and work in developing and starting Apple Corporation years ago, before, you know, any of that really. And they were sleeping in their garage night after night. You know, didn't really take time. My wife and I went through Thomas Edison's lab up in New Jersey 1 year. We were up there, had some free time, went through the lab. You know, they said, there's the bed where Edison slept 3 hours a night or whatever while he's working on the inventions. You know, how did he invent all those things? A guy must be a genius, and I'm sure he's pretty smart. But being a genius alone didn't help him, didn't enable him to invent everything that he got credit for inventing. It was day after day, night after night, week after week, year after year. Mr. Edison, you know, haven't you done enough? You've already got so many patents now, don't you? No, I want to keep going, I want to keep plotting, I want to do more. You look at somebody that is a success in any area of life, they kept plotting. You look at a success, you look at this church. Great church. 50 years. Me, one of the blessings of it is the people that you've sent out into ministry and the people that are serving God, and pastors and assistant pastors and missionaries and that were reached through the ministry here. Enjoyed looking at that 50th anniversary card. I think it was on the card where it talked about where every one of them got saved. Remember reading that in a Sunday school class or whatever. It'd be neat if you could say, well, this one's the big one. But you never know which bus kid you lead to Christ. Is it going to be a Jesse McCammon or whoever? Yeah, everyone you lead to Christ is just as saved as Jesse McCammon is. You never know which one's going to pay off. You just got to keep investing. Keep plotting. I can plot. But you build a church, and it goes, and it grows, and it falls, and it grows, and it falls, and people get, some people pass away, some people move away, some people get upset and quit and go away. Why is there a great church here? Because the original Pastor Ross and the Pastor Ross you've had just kept plodding. When it was discouraging, and I dare say, I don't know which days, I enjoy being here. But I promise you, they're discouraging days. I promise you, there's exciting days. I'm just going to keep plotting. Any area of your life, I mean, that's the way life works. You become a plotter. And, students in I work at Bible college. And, you know, some students decide, yes, I'm going to get good grades. or I didn't do well on that. I'm going to study, and I got a 98. I studied, studied, got a 98 on that test. Well, that's wonderful. What are you going to get on the next one? Oh, I didn't study for that. Got a 48. Oops. Then a 53. You know, one good grade isn't going to get it done. I did good on tests, but I didn't turn any of my outside work in. Oops. You know, it doesn't work. How do you pay your bills? Well, I wish I had a rich uncle or something that'd pay all my bills for me. But I found in my life that you get a job, you make your money, you spend less than you make, and you just keep plotting. Try and put a little away and a little more away if you can and save up. But it doesn't happen quickly. And it doesn't happen in a hurry. It's a matter of plotting. My wife and I used to take, our kids went to Christian school, and they'd take them out and have them sell candy to raise money for the school. And we started getting into that. And they had, if you're one of the top 10 or whatever candy sellers, you could win a trip somewhere to Washington, D.C. or Disneyland or whatever. This was a long time ago. And anyhow, you win a trip somewhere. And so we thought, oh, that'd be pretty neat. We'll try and help our kids win a prize and win a trip and see what we can't do. And we took our kids out. We'd stand in front of candy, in front of grocery stores, two different grocery stores. Jewel Osco had two doors back then, and another one just had one. And so my wife would take, I don't know why, but she took the two to the place that had the two doors, and I had the one at the place that had one. We'd stand there and the kids would say, would you like to buy a delicious candy bar only for a dollar? And you got a cute little kid there. And somebody said, oh, I don't have any money. And you think, why are you going to the store? And I'm on a diet. And then they come out with, the ones that said that usually looked like they weren't, if you know what I mean. But anyhow. He got a lot of no's. Then somebody say, well, here's $5. Give me two candy bars and keep the change. And somebody, you know, you're trying to go and you're trying to win a prize. And so, but the kids would come home and say, well, you know, with Susie, I mean, her parents took her to this bowling alley and she sold just a whole, I mean, she was selling faster than she could get them out of the box. She was just selling and selling. We'll never win. And I kept saying, kids, look, let them have their plans and their schemes and find different ways. We'll just go out longer, stay at work harder, ask more people to buy a delicious candy bar. And you know what? We wound up winning. Because you don't win by, we went to the bowling alley and sold so many that we couldn't get them out of the box fast enough. You win by plotting. In any area of life. I mean, I do a lot of work. I keep looking for a way. I wish I had a genie where I could, you know. But I found the only way to get a lot of work done is to do a lot of work. I mean, that seems simple. But when I don't do a lot of work, I don't get a lot of work done. It's a matter of plotting. Talk about building a marriage. We're in our 52nd year. We're still working at building it. So it'll happen because, you know, you're young and beautiful and fall in love. And we were young and I was good looking once and my wife still is, and we had dreams and thoughts. You stay together 52 years nearly, you keep plotting. You read your Bible. Oh, my first of the year, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get a day ahead just in case I miss. But you don't get your Bible reading done on January 1 to 3. You get it read on May 28th and July 9th and September 23rd. That's plodding. Like the old workhorse pulling the wagon up the hill. I'm going to pray. I need a prayer life. Okay, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer tomorrow. And you do, and you do, and you don't, and you don't, and you do, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't. First thing you know, next year we have a revival. No, it's plodding. It's a matter of just staying with it. Rearing your children. Wouldn't it be nice if you could take your kids and sit them down and say, look, kids, here's what you need to know. Number one, you got to work hard. You need to be a plotter. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray. And I don't know that I'm giving these in order. You need to pray. You need to live right. You need to live clean. You need to manage your money. You need to. So, good. I told you all that. You understand it all? Good. Done. Make sure you respect your mom and dad. Obey them. Take care of us when we get old. You understand it all? Got it? Good. Doesn't work that way. It's plotting. Talk to William Carey, man who changed the world. If he give me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything. And in your work, in your bills, and I mean, bus route, I love bus ministry. My wife and I love visiting on bus routes. Be nice. You know, neither of us have a personality where you meet us and somebody says, oh, he's a nice guy. She's a lot of fun. And I want to be on a bus tomorrow to be with them. I mean, that's not us. I know bus workers like that. They go out and visit 2 hours and sign up 15, have 10 of them come. That's not us. But we can plod. In our 70s, visited a bus route yesterday. Talked to a little boy that's been coming some and met his older brothers who used to come 10 years ago. Hadn't been in a while, now 22. Guy says, how old do you think I am? I said, 18. He said, I'm 22. I was like, I'm too old. I said, how old do you think I am? He said, 60? I said, 75. So if I'm not too old to go, you're not too old to go. Oh. Well, maybe I should. But anyhow, you just keep plotting. And you know what? Most of the visitors that we line up on Saturday don't come Sunday. But some do. I mean, it's the way it is. You keep plotting. Your bus work, your soul winning, your building a church, your Bible reading, your prayer life, your Sunday school class. I don't even know if those kids listen this morning. This is the way I used to feel when I taught a first grade boys Sunday school class for 17 years. Sometimes are any of them getting anything out of this? But some do. Keep plotting. I just keep going. Anything you do is going to involve difficulties and setbacks and hardships. And you can say, I quit. It's not worth it. It's not working like it does for the other people. I visit just as many hours as they do, and their bus is bringing in 35 and I'm bringing in 14. It's just not, I must not be cut out for this. I can't do it. I'm the 14 guy, but I can plod. I can keep going. I can keep working at it. You know, one of the great things about serving God is whatever it accomplishes in service for God lasts forever. Somebody gets saved on that bus, they're saved forever. Somebody that you train to be a soul winner and they win 20 people to Christ and then they backslide, the 20 people they got saved are still saved. And on you go. One of the great things about serving God is work lasts forever. You look at the Apostle Paul. You say, Paul, what's the secret to your ministry? I mean, Paul, greatest Christian, best results anyhow. I mean, all over, preached, God used him right. What's the secret to your ministry, Paul? Is it good looks? Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10, his bodily presence is weak. He wasn't anybody to look at. He looks like a weak, just kind of, maybe kind of sickly or whatever. I don't know. But the Bible does say his bodily presence is weak. He's not the kind of a man you'd look at and say, oh, he must be the world's greatest preacher. No great presence. Man must have been a great preacher. No, 2 Corinthians says his speech is contemptible. Now, if he had a speech impediment or what, but he was hard to listen to, apparently. His speech was contemptible. So it wasn't his looks, according to the Bible. It wasn't his great preaching. Why'd God use you? Corinthians started saying, well, Paul, we're not even sure you're an apostle. Other people are criticizing you. And Paul defends his ministry in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. He said, are they an apostle of Christ? I am more. He starts giving his credentials. Number one credential, in labors more abundant. Number one. Then he talks about the persecutions he endured and how he did this and that and how God did everything else. But are they an apostle of Christ? I am more, number one, in labors more abundant. I worked harder. Isn't that what that means? In labors more abundant. I just worked harder. And if you're going to be successful, get any area of life. Oh, that guy shoots 80, 90% free throws. How'd he do that? 50,000 free throws that nobody saw. How'd he make that move? Hours practicing when nobody was looking. I mean, how'd he get all his bills paid? He went to work every day. He was a plod. How'd this church stay faithful 50 years? You've had pastors and staff who have kept plodding. Just going to keep going. Didn't go from a home meeting, garage, home, to this overnight. But somebody kept plotting. I want to challenge you today to be a plotter, to keep going and just keep going, whether it's your Bible reading, your prayer life, your giving, your finances, your ministry, your bus route, your Sunday school class. I want to be a plotter. I want to keep on plotting. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Wonder while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe if God's spoken to somebody's heart this morning, you say, Brother Jorgensen, I've been discouraged about my bus route, about my Sunday school class, my Bible reading, my prayer life, my family, my finance. I've been discouraged, but I've decided this morning I'm going to keep on plotting. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to be a plotter. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I see many hands around the auditorium. I'm going to be a plotter. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to read some today, a little more tomorrow. Pray some today, more tomorrow. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that would say, Brother Jorgensen, you talked about heaven and going to heaven and knowing for sure we can go to heaven. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody else? Okay, I'll pray. Let's stand with heads bowed. I'll pray in a moment. And then after I pray, the pianist will begin to play. When she does, on the first note, if you want to raise your hand for prayer, I'd urge you come down, kneel here, pray and settle some things. Heavenly Father, thank you for many that have said, God, I'm going to be a plotter. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. I'll be faithful. Help me to plot. Help each of us to do that. Help me to do that in my work, I pray. Pray for this one and maybe others that said, raising a hand, not sure of salvation. Pray that you'd help them to get it settled today. In Jesus' name, amen. As she begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, you want to come down and kneel here. I'm going to be a plotter. I'm not going to quit. going to keep going. Going to be a plotter. If you're not sure of your salvation, come down, greet the gentleman's hand here in the front. Greet him. He'll have somebody take the Bible and show you out of the Bible how you can know you're saved. And I think that's being done here now with one. Maybe make it a second, a third. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. Not going to run fast, won't fill the bus in a hurry, but I'll be a plotter. They're the ones that get the great things done.